Bible Basics, Study 5, The Kingdom of God. 5.1, Defining the Kingdom of God. Our previous studies have shown that it is God's purpose to reward his faithful people with eternal life at the return of Christ. This eternal life will be spent on earth. God's repeated promises concerning this never imply that the faithful will go to heaven. Only Jesus went to heaven, and he promised his followers that although they could not go there, John 13, verse 33, he would come back to earth and eternally be with them here, John 14, verse 3. Our salvation and eternal life will be experienced in a bodily form, Romans 8, verses 11 and 23, and the arena of this salvation will be the kingdom of God to be literally and physically established upon this earth. The gospel, good news, of the kingdom of God, Matthew 4, verse 23, was preached to Abraham in the form of God's promises concerning eternal life on earth. Galatians 3, verse 8. The kingdom of God is therefore the time after Christ's return when these promises will be fulfilled. Whilst God is ultimately the king of his entire creation even now, he has given man free will to rule the world and his own life as he wishes. Thus, at present, the world is comprised of the kingdom of men. Daniel 4, verse 17. At Christ's return, the kingdom of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. Revelation 11, verse 15. Then God's will and desires will be completely and openly performed in this earth. Hence, Jesus' command for us to pray, "Your kingdom come," that "your will be done in earth as it is now in heaven," Matthew 6, verse 10. Because of this, the kingdom of God is a phrase interchangeable with the kingdom of heaven. Compare Matthew 13, verse 11, with Mark chapter 4, verse 11. Heaven is often put for God. Matthew 21, verse 25, Luke 15, verse 18, John 3, verse 27. Note that we never read of the kingdom in heaven. It is the kingdom of heaven which will be established by Christ on earth at his return. We are a colony of heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Moffat edition. As God's will is completely obeyed by the angels in heaven, Psalm 103, verses 19 to 21, so it will be in the future kingdom of God, when the earth will only be inhabited by the righteous, who will then be equal to the angels. Luke chapter 20, verse 36. Entering the kingdom of God at Christ's return is therefore the end result of all our Christian endeavour in this life. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. As such, it is absolutely vital to have a correct understanding of it. It is a major theme of God's revelation. All the counsel, will, of God is paralleled with the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 25, compare 27. All that it stands for and our being in it is all God's will. Philip's preaching of Christ is defined as teaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 and 12. Passage upon passage remind us of how the kingdom of God was the main burden of Paul's preaching. Acts chapter 19, verse 8. Chapter 20, verse 25. Chapter 28, verses 23 and 31. It is therefore of paramount importance that we fully understand the doctrine of the kingdom of God, seeing that it forms a vital part of the gospel message. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 4, verse 22. It is the light at the end of the tunnel of this life, and therefore the motivation to make the sacrifice which we, the true Christian life, involves. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, wanted to know the world's future. See Daniel chapter 2. He was given a vision of a great statue composed of different metals. Daniel interpreted the head of gold as representing the king of Babylon. Daniel 2, verse 38. After him, there was to come a succession of major empires in the area around Israel, to be concluded by a situation in which, as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Daniel chapter 2, verse 42. The present balance of power in the world is split between many nations, some strong and some weak. Daniel then saw a little stone hit the image on the feet, destroying it, and itself growing into a great mountain which filled the whole earth. Daniel chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. This stone represented Jesus. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. Acts chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 8. The mountain which he will create all over the earth represents the everlasting kingdom of God, which will be established at his second coming. This prophecy is in itself proof that the kingdom will be on earth, not in heaven. That the kingdom will only be fully established in reality upon Christ's return is a theme of other passages. Paul speaks of Jesus judging the living and dead at his appearing and his kingdom. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Micah chapter 4, verse 1 picks up Daniel's idea of God's kingdom being like a huge mountain. In the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established. There then follows a description of what this kingdom will be like on the earth. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. God will give Jesus the throne of David in Jerusalem. He shall reign forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. This necessitates there being a certain point at which Jesus begins to reign on David's throne and his kingdom begin. This will be at Christ's return. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Connect with Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. The God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. It shall not be left to other people. Revelation chapter 11 verse 15 uses similar language in describing how that at the second coming, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. Again, there must be a specific time when Christ's kingdom and reign begins on earth. This will be at his return.